Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Bible Study. This is Brother Miles. I am glad that you have chosen to be with us today. I hope you have a pen, some paper, something to take some notes on. I write in my Bible. I make notes, underline, highlight stuff. It comes in handy, you know, going back and studying stuff. And so I encourage you to do that if you don't mind writing in your Bible, in your margin, that type thing. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 7. We're going to continue our study in Genesis, and we're talking about Noah. And Noah's got the command to build the ark, and God told him to build before he told him what it was for. And so we're going to talk about his faith, and we're going to try to, if you can, sanctify your imagination. So when we read this, you can kind of picture in your mind what it must have been like for him to trust God with more than a man-sized task. And so let's get to it. First of all, I want to pray. And if you found your place in Genesis chapter 7, that's where we'll begin in just a minute. But let's have a word of prayer together to begin our study, okay? Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these dear people who have been faithful to listen. And Lord, I pray that you would touch me, Lord, as their teacher, and give me insight and help me to explain the Word of God to the very best of my ability, and Lord, in common everyday language that we all can understand. And I thank you for the preachers that I've heard through the years, Lord, that spoke in language that I could understand. And I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your Word. Lord, I know you're going to teach us today. We're looking forward to it. Please help us and forgive us for anything, Lord, that might be of a hindrance to the Holy Spirit illuminating our thoughts and minds today from your word, because we ask you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, I'm so glad that you're here today, wherever you might be. And so I hope you're comfortable and alert and ready to go. Okay? All right. Before we begin reading in Genesis chapter 7, let me just remind you, Genesis chapter 6 is when God saw the wickedness of man. Remember, I can't help but think, you know, when God looked down, when God observed everything that was going on, and see, and man has the ability to make his own choices, and he can go his own way. And we'll see that right here in just a minute in chapter 7. We can already see it, but we're going to see somebody who chose the right way. Enoch chose the right way. Noah chose the right way. And they were highlighted in Genesis, along with others in future study. But God observed, and it must have been, you know, if God's heart can break, so to speak, must have been heartbreaking, made God sad that men had chosen to live the way they were living, and how corruption had grown and escalated, and it developed to the point to where God had enough. I would like to say that imagine that his cup of indignation, the cup of his wrath of indignation had filled up. Man had gone as far as he would allow him to go. And now in this, you have to understand, God's going to judge the world, but in my opinion, I believe that others could have come on the ark if they had chosen to. Why do you think that, Brother Miles? Well, let's look and see as we go along, but kind of get that in your mind. God is fed up. I wonder where God is with the world today. I wonder how close we are to God telling his son the time is now. The last soul has been saved on this earth in the church age. Go get the church. I wonder how close we are to that. I began a study this past Sunday in Revelation chapter 1. We're going to work our way through the book of Revelation. And it, you know, it has to do with judgment. It has to do with all the vials, the trumpets, and all those judgments, and the 7-year tribulation period, and then the great tribulation period. And with God, we'll let you go so far. He's always ready and willing to take us back. But that's based on our decision, our decision to listen to Him and give way to the Holy Spirit, and recognize that we need to turn to Him. And some people do, and some people don't. A lot of these people right here did not. And so God tells Noah. It said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So, and then it said in another place that Noah walked with God. So Enoch was an influence upon Noah. He had to be. And Noah was an influence upon his sons, his daughter-in-laws, and his wife. Think about that for just a moment. Think about that. Go back and in your heart and mind and picture yourself living in that world. Brother Miles, there's no way I could live in a place like that. You're living in a place like that right now. You're living in a place like that, upheaval, pestilence, wars and rumors of wars. And I know that in Matthew 24, that's talking about the tribulation period. But you can see those things right now. You can see those things right now. And the way things are changing and such. this has everything to do with our study today. So now, that was a little introduction to kind of get us to where we are in historical thought of where Noah's at right now and what Noah must be going through and what he must have seen and how he chose to live for God anyway. See, you have a choice. You can go the world's way. We can compromise. we can lower our standards. Or we can stand for God. And God blesses us. He will bless righteousness. It's all through His Word. He will bless righteousness. All right, look at your Bible, chapter 7, verse 1. And it reads like this. I'm going to read through verse 10 for the moment. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all the house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male, his female, and of beasts that are not clean, two by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, male and female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Of every living substance that I have made, I will destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass, I would circle those five words. They're all throughout Scripture. That means that what God has said, it introduces the thought that God's going to go through with what He has said in this particular passage. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. We'll stop right there for just a moment. I want you to notice something beginning in chapter 7, verse 1. Well, verse 22 of chapter 6, the very last verse. Look at this. It says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. All right, think for just a moment about Noah. He grew a vineyard, I know that, so he was some sort of a farmer. And he was familiar with animals and such, and everyday life. He goes on, and he sacrifices to God, he worships God, he praises God, he leads his family in a godly manner. He is a light in an otherwise very harsh and dark world. And God had told him. He told him. He said, "I want to establish my covenant with you, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife." And thy son's wife, verse 18 of chapter 6. Now, could Noah had not gone into the ark? If he had chosen to disbelieve God and to look at this task that God was giving him, when he laid out the measurements for the ark were used for centuries to build ships that would be seaworthy. It was built in such a manner that it withstood the waves, and it stayed afloat. And those very dimensions and proportions have been used by shipbuilders for centuries. Now, God, in worship one day, Noah was worshiping God. He might have been off praying by himself, but God spoke to him. And he laid it all out. God says, I'm going to judge the world, and this is going to stop. And he said, Noah, you've walked with me. Now, was Noah perfect? No. We'll see that later on, too. No, he wasn't perfect. Enoch wasn't perfect. They worshiped by faith. They worshiped by faith. Enoch walked with God. He had a testimony that it pleased God. Enoch walked with God. He had a testimony that it pleased God. Noah walked with God. Noah had faith and trust in God. Now, his faith and trust in God was built on a foundation. His foundation was that he trusted God, that what God said, God would bring to pass. He trusted him with his life. He had a testimony that he influenced his family. See, God spoke through Noah. God told him. God didn't set the whole family down. God spoke through Noah. Noah set the family down and told him. And now his influence was of such that, think about this now. He had a testimony and an influence that was very powerful because he sat down after he got this. I'm paraphrasing some of this now, but think about it. Sanctify your imagination. He came home when he got this message and he told his wife. He told Miss Noah that God had spoken to me. Now, she was certainly aware of what was going on in the world around her. She protected her children. They were raised in a godly home. They weren't allowed to run around everywhere and go and do what as they please. They were a family unit, and they were a godly family unit because they moved together throughout this whole venture. So he told her, I'm sure he expressed to her what God had said. And being the godly wife that she must have been, she no doubt in my mind trusted her husband's faith in God. Now, it doesn't say anywhere in here or give me any indication that she resisted in any shape, nor his sons, nor his daughter-in-laws. They acted as a unit. And this tells me that Noah had a strong testimony in his family, that Noah was a godly man, that Noah, that it was evident that Noah had been with God. You know what? That's what we need in our homes today. More than we need anything else, we need men, myself included, myself at the top of the list, we need men with a testimony that pleases God and that not only pleases God, but it protects their family. And it's an expression, a visible expression of a man's faith in God to their family. And it gives a foundation for the family to build on. So Noah trusted God's word. And it says in verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God had commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Now, God was rewarding him for his faith and his trust and his righteousness. And God, now the word come is a directive. It's a command. Even though it's a directive and it's a command, it's also an invitation. And he had laid it out. This is what I want you to build, and this is what it's for. He said, I want you and your family to come in the ark for protection. Now, did Noah automatically have to do that? Well, according to his faith and his trust in God, his faith demanded that he do it. But even though at times when our faith demands that we follow God, we don't always follow God, do we? So see, he's not a robot. He's not mechanical. It's not something that he could have resisted. He could have resisted, as evidenced by the sin nature that's in man. You know this. I know this. We both know. We all know that. Now, what was it that caused him to go in? Was it the fact that that he would be protected and his family would be saved? That was probably part of it, I'm sure. That was part of it. Was it that he might have thought, well, this is, you know, we're going to be rid of the violence and the filth and the sin. We're starting over. Could that have been a part of it? Yeah, I believe that could have been a part of it. But what do you think the motivating factor was that caused him to obey God when God says, come thou and all thy house into the ark? I believe, and see, here's the key right here. It's in the verse, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. You know what that means, that when God saw his righteousness was based on his love for God. His righteousness was based on the fact that he didn't follow the world. I'm not telling you that he was perfect and that he never sinned. I'm not telling you that. You know better than that. I'm not telling you that. But what I'm saying is that Noah, as evidenced by, it says, verse 22, chapter 6 is a clue, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded. So he did. Verse 5 of chapter 7, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And it's in several places here where Noah just simply obeyed God, but his obedience was because he loved God. You know why we ought to obey God? Well, it's the right thing to do, of course. And there's always a consequence for not obeying God, of course. This was a dire consequence right here, that if he didn't go into the ark, if he and his wife had gone in and his sons and their wives hadn't gone in, they would have perished. You know, it's just like Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He says, I'm paraphrasing now, all that come unto me, all in no wise cast out. When Jesus says come, it is a command, but it's also an invitation, because you have the ability to choose. Now, he knew enough about God, and he loved God in such a way, in my opinion, that he chose to obey God because God loved him. God loved him, and God showed it to him by providing a way of escape. God loves you, and he has shown it to you by providing Jesus Christ, that has paid. His body took up the punishment for our sins, and his blood was the payment for our sins. And God loves us so much that he has paid for all the sin of mankind. Every sin that's ever been committed has been paid for. It was on the cross. Now, here's the key right here. It only applies to those who believe. All sin is, but God's justness and righteousness has been satisfied, as evidenced by his sacrifice on the cross. And God received that. He received that payment. And he declared that punishment just and right, as evidenced by raising his son from the dead. Now, he did this for you as an individual and me as an individual. And all my sins, past, present, future, it says in Colossians chapter 2, he's forgiven us all trespasses. All sin, past, present, future, of every man, woman, boy, and girl in the world has been paid for. But it's only applicable to those who trust God by faith. This ark right here, the judgment was going to be paid for. The judgment was going to be, it was going to be paid for, as evidenced by the ark. But it only applied to people who came in. It only applied to people who trusted, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but let's go on. Look at verse 2. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean, two by two, and the male and his female. Now, something else that I want you to notice right here, and I'm not harping on this, but it's here. You can't deny it. When you see things in your Bible that's over and over and over, male, female, Adam and Eve, male and female, procreate, this, that, the animals, male and female. God made man in his own image, male and female made he them. Underline, that's the law of repetition. When you see that, like that, it's there for a reason. God's making a point. Male and female. You understand what I'm trying to say? I don't want to get real deep into that. I think I covered that in the past. But I just wanted you to note. I wanted you to see. Look at things like that, because over and over and over in this chapter, it says male, female, male, female. God created the male for a reason. He created the female for a reason. Come on, somebody. You understand what I'm saying? That's just kind of to the side there, but I want you to notice it. Whenever you see something that's repeated in your Bible, it's called the law of repetition. Underline it, circle it, it's there for a reason. Okay? All right, so These unclean animals, procreation, clean, two by two, the clean animals were for consumption and for sacrifice. Fowls also, air by sevens, a male, female, to keep them alive upon the face of the earth. Now, think about all these animals. He was familiar with animals. He knew, cattle, creeping things. Did they go out and gather all these animals up? Did they go out there and call the pigs and the chickens and the hogs and the cows and the birds and all? No, that's not how that happened. He had 7 days. Look at what it says. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So he had gotten to the point to where the ark was completed, and God told him, he said, it's going to rain 7 days. And he said, these are the animals, these are the type of animals that I want to go on the ark. And so he tells them, so many clean, so many unclean, so on and so forth, birds and fowl and cattle and creeping things and all that. So that was a monumental task in and of itself. Noah, his three sons, and their three wives, and Miss Noah, that was eight people, and all these animals. Now watch, now when God lays something out there that seems monumental, that seems like there's no way I can do this, God will provide a way. We already mentioned it over here in chapter 6, verse 20. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. God put it in the animals to go to the ark. So prior to this 7 day, he had 7 days. And so when God gave him that command, he looked up the next morning or that day or something, and here they come. Noah had gotten to the point to where he had got the food in there. He'd got the water supply in there. Think about the compartments where the food had gone and how they were going to dispose of waste and where each the cages for the different size of animals and where they would be kept and how they would be restrained and how the weight would be distributed. I mean, think about that. They just didn't go on there and they all sat among the animals. This was a complicated affair that God gave this man the ability to accomplish by faith. And so here come all these animals. They're flying in, they're crawling in, they're hopping in, they're running in, they're walking in, and they go in on the ark. And so I'm sure that in there, they're somehow being directed. They're being directed. God's directing them, and these men and women are working to get these animals to where they need to be. All right, so just picture yourself standing outside that ark, and there's this huge door in the side of the ark, the only entrance to this place. No other door any place else. Wasn't in the front, wasn't in the back, it was on the side. And here's a ramp that's going up to this door. This door is wide open. And God said, I will cause it, 7 days, I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Noah said, what in the world does that mean? I ain't never seen no rain. Well, it wouldn't be faith if he had seen it. And of every living substance that I have made, I will destroy from all the face of the earth. This was judgment. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his son's wife with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. But I read something over here. My spirit shall not always strive for men, for he is also flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. Was that how long it took him to build the ark? I don't know. Maybe. Might have been. However long it took. People were watching. He may have subcontracted some of this out. I don't know. Just think about how enormous this thing is. You got internet. Look up the Ark Encounter. Google that one day. Look at that. You might have already been. You know what I'm talking about. That thing is, you pull up on this hill and park your car and they take you over there on the bus. It's the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. And you look out there on this mound on this hill and you see that thing. It's something to see. People, I ain't joking. So picture Noah. Picture Noah. Maybe he had help. Maybe people were saying, "What are you doing?" Don't people ask you that when don't they? Why do you go to church? Why do you not? All right, now let me say it. I'm gonna go ahead and say it. Why do you not let your kids play baseball and sports on Sunday? If they'd have had sports and all that back then. You think Noah would have let his kids do that? I don't think we would have missed church for anything. I mean, anything not like that. I think you need to take a vacation and such as that. And you know, I understand that. I'm just saying, folks, listen, the church is lacking. The church is lacking. I don't care where you go to church. It's lacking. It's lacking. And It's our fault. It's my fault. It's our fault. But Noah, see, Noah was a tremendous influence on his family. His sons was helping do this. They did it because they loved their daddy, and they did it because they loved their daddy's God. Does your children, I know your children love you, I'm sure they do, but do they love your God? You know how you put read between the lines, they must have seen Noah pray. They must have seen Noah at the supper table with his hands folded. And he talked to God like God was in the room. And a holy reverence came upon that place. Come on, somebody. You know, that's kind of the way I see that. That's kind of the way I see that. And so it says that, you know, it was 120 years. So Noah was gathering all the supplies, and people began to wonder. They began to see this, you know, this thing take shape, and, you know, and people, the word gets out. You can't keep something like this a secret. The word gets out. And they said, "What are you doing?" Well, don't you know that Noah explained to them what he was doing and why he was doing it? He really would have sounded, he probably sounded like a nut anyway. Nobody had seen it rain. And, you know, the Bible says sometimes you got to just discern if a man's crazy or if he's converted. And Noah, in this process, I guarantee you people were asking questions. People were coming to see, what is he doing? People were sitting on the hill watching. I'm sure people was laughing and ridiculing. I'm sure people were saying all kinds of things about him. The Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness, and he moved with fear, and prepared an ark for the saving of his household. What kind of ark are you preparing to save your household? You know what you're doing every day. If you're building an ark to save your household, you're building it on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And every day you're laying stone. Every day you're filling in the gap. Every day you're raising the wall a little bit higher. And you know what? It's for the saving of your household. Men, listen to me. God spoke to Noah. He didn't speak to Miss Noah. God spoke to Adam. He didn't speak to Eve. God spoke to the man. The man's responsible. This is the pattern that God's laying out for us right here in Genesis. He said the man is the priest of his home. God came in the garden. He didn't call for Eve. He called for Adam. God spoke to Noah. God spoke to Noah. All right, here we go. Listen. 7 days I'll cause it to rain. These animals started coming in. Noah had already got it completed. He had endured all the different things that people were saying. And you know what? Nobody believed him. How do you know nobody believed him, Brother Miles? Read your Bible. How many went in on the ark? Only Noah, his sons and their wives and his wife. Those are the only ones. Could anybody else have gone in? Why, don't you know they could have? When God asked Adam, where have you been? What have you been doing? God asked Cain, where's your brother? God gave these people, God gives an opportunity to turn. There's always an opportunity to turn. And by Noah preaching, I'm sure Noah preached. I'm sure Noah talked. I'm sure Noah explained. I'm sure Noah did all this. And nobody believed him. Nobody believed him. You know, I wonder how many people, not just outside the church, but how many people in the church really believe that we're closer to the rapture of the church than we've ever been today. You know, in the Bible says Noah did all according that the Lord had commanded him. And it says Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And listen, Noah went in, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. So see, it started raining one day. It started raining one day. When that last cow crossed that threshold, it went in there. And you could hear all these animals. People were standing on the bank. People were watching. People were looking. People were wondering what in the world's going on. And all of a sudden, raindrops started falling. Big drops started falling. People held out their hand, and they were in such amazement. They'd never seen such a thing that they weren't aware of what was going on. Then the ground began to shake. The ground began to shake, and the water started to come. All of a sudden, somebody got their mind together, and they said, "Noah, let me in, Noah." "Well, listen, my time is going. Didn't get nowhere near as far as I wanted to, but I know you understand. Listen, I'll see you next week. God bless you. I'll see you at Bible study, okay? All right. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.